Welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and the studios of WMOT-FM. Osteoporosis is a major problem for postmenopausal women, despite the proliferation of calcium supplements on the market and available at your local drugstore. It's a problem that has inspired one of our graduate students, Saori Ishikawa, to conduct a study on the impact of sedentary behavior on bone density. And we're going to tell you how you can help Saori, and if you're a postmenopausal woman, how helping Saori can in turn help you to make yourself a healthier person. We'll be right back to talk more about bone density in postmenopausal women after this message from MTSUnews.com.
Here are some of the stories now on MTSUnews.com, the university's news and information website. The Fall 2012 Consumer Outlook Index from MTSU's Office of Consumer Research dropped sharply to 106 from 178 in September. In general, the report states that consumers continue to view the current economy negatively and have become increasingly wary of the prospects for a quick turnaround in the economy. The 4th Annual Department of Accounting Continuing Professional Education Day was held December 6th in the Business and Aerospace Building. The conference's continuing professional education seminars included presentations on accounting and financial reporting, auditing, taxation, and ethics. And some wounded military personnel will have a brighter holiday season because of an MTSU employee. STEM Center executive aide Leanne Newton gathers holiday greeting cards and sends them to U.S. service members recovering from wartime injuries. For more information, go to UncleSamsHeroes.com. And for MTSU News at any time, go to MTSUNews.com.
Saori Ishikawa, as I said, is a graduate student in the exercise science program in the MTSU Department of Health and Human Performance. Welcome to the program, Saori.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me here.
What prompted you to start your study, your dissertation study for your what will be your doctorate degree, on this particular subject?
My interest in bone health among females derived from me participating in gymnastics while I was in college, and I have been witnessed many stress factors and growth plate fractures in younger females, as well as adult female gymnasts, and my passion and interest in bone health started off there, and when I was working as an athletic trainer at a college, I again saw stress fractures in female athletes, and I began to wonder why there were many fractures occurring in the female population. And from there, I decided to pursue my PhD in exercise science to learn more about physiological responses to exercise and training and physical activity as well. And while I was pursuing my PhD, in the first couple of years, I was not sure if I wanted to conduct my dissertation study in bone health. However, one of the courses that I took in the earlier in the stage in this PhD program was a class about meta-analysis, which combined all of the studies that conducted interventions to see if exercise and physical activity had an impact on bone health in different female populations. And from there, I found out that plyometric exercise during childhood was a very important aspect of developing bone health. And after conducting that study, I became interested in learning about older populations, since osteoporosis is very prevalent in postmenopausal females, especially females over the age of 50. We know that one out of three females over the age of 50 is estimated to sustain a fracture later in life. And from there, I used this national data set that looked at the relationship between physical activity and bone mineral density at the hip and the lumbar spine. And from that analysis, we learned that not just physical activity was important, but also sitting time, sedentary behavior was very, it was a significant predictor for bone health in older females. And that's where my dissertation topic was designed, whether sedentary behavior really have an impact on bone health in older females. And that's my first part of the dissertation study. So currently I'm collecting data and looking for more participants to get enough sample size. My ultimate goal is to get 40 participants.
And we'll be telling you later on how you can contact Zori to participate in her study. It's absolutely free to you. It only takes a few minutes of your time, and you could learn some information about yourself that would be very valuable to you. What is it about menopause or the change of life that it causes women after they have passed through that stage in their development to be more vulnerable mm-hmm. to fractures and to osteoporosis?
Yes. The way bone metabolizes, it goes through a constant cycle of remodeling that consists of bone resorption, meaning that the calcium is taking out from the bone into the circulation bloodstream for the body to use calcium to do to contract the muscles and be functional. And on the second, the second component of bone remodeling is after resorption occurs when the calcium is taken out from the bone, the calcium that you consume is absorbed by the bone again, and that constant cycle tries to maintain bone health throughout the lifetime. And when a female reaches 30 years old, that's when the peak bone mass is obtained. When a female reaches age of 50 or menopause, around menopause, that's where the hormonal estrogen decreases with menopause. And because the calcium can be observed by the bone with the existence of estrogen, when the estrogen level goes down, the amount of calcium that the bone can consume decreases. The bone is not observing enough calcium in relation to the amount of bone being lost mm-hmm. naturally. And so with females over the age of 50 after menopause, we see a lot of decrease in bone density.
Now, you mentioned the lumbar spine and the hip. Mm-hmm. Are those the two most vulnerable areas? Or do you concentrate on those areas of the skeleton for a specific reason?
Yes, lumbar spine and femoral neck are the most two common areas for osteoporosis and osteoporosis-related fractures. The reason behind it is because within a bone, there's a part that structures the bone called cortical bone. That part is very dense. However, the inside of the bone is called trabecular. It's a spongy bone, and that part can decrease its bone density naturally with aging. Lumbar spine and femoral neck are the two parts where a lot of trabecular bone is within the bone. And so wherever the body parts where a lot of trabecular bone is consisting within a bone, there's more likelihood of that body parts become to develop osteoporosis later in life. So lumbar spine and femoral neck are the two sites that I have chosen to screen their bone density.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the study and about what the participants in the study can expect when they come into Saori's lab. This is MTSU on the Record.
Specialized training in forensic science prepares tomorrow's professionals through the Forensic Institute for Research and Education, or FIRE. The Forensic Anthropology Search and Recovery Team assists law enforcement with skeletal remains at crime scenes. Legendary forensic scientists provide lectures free to the public, and high school students work realistic crime scenes each summer at our CSI MTSU camp. I'm Dr. Hugh Berryman, Director of FIRE.
For all the latest MTSU information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're talking about bone density and osteoporosis and a study being done by graduate student Saori Ishikawa on the impact of sedentary behaviors on bone health in older women. Take us through from beginning to end what you do with each participant as they come in to take part in this study.
Yes. The first part of the study, which we are comparing the impact of sedentary behavior on bone health, particularly on lumbar spine and femoral neck in older females 65 and above. The first part that we ask participants to do is to wear a motion sensor around the waist during waking hours for 7 days. Every day when they wake up, they're going to wear the waist-mounted activity monitor, which counts the number of activity counts you accumulate throughout the day. And using that 7 day monitoring, we assess how much light intensity physical activity, moderate to vigorous physical activity, as well as sedentary behavior there is within a day, and look at that in relation to the amount of bone density. Now, after 7 day monitoring is complete, we ask the participants to come visit our exercise science lab and go through the bone density scan, which takes about 2 to 3 minutes per body part. And after getting the bone density scans, we compared the numbers between sedentary time, physical activity, and bone density at the lumbar spine and femoral neck.
Well, they're wearing the monitor. They're not doing anything out of the ordinary. They're not increasing or decreasing.
No.
They're going about their usual lifestyle activities, right?
We are interested in examining their typical activity behavior.
And when you're with the participants, you also get their height and weight, right?
Yes, we do. We do.
And then there are some questions that you ask about their overall health, but there's more like a little battery of tests, one test in particular that you go through with each of them, right?
Yes. There is a, in addition to the activity monitoring, which will be done wearing the device, the activity monitor only tells us how much time one person engages in sitting behavior throughout the day. We can only obtain the amount of time that the individual sits per day. Because we're interested in learning more about their sedentary behavior, we're in a process of developing a tool. It's a record sheet where our participants record certain types of activities, such as sleeping, lying, and reading, socializing, or sitting and using computers, sitting and watching TV, sitting and eating, socializing. And so in addition to the activity monitor, we have participants record the specific sedentary behavior that they engage in throughout the day for 7 days during the same 7 day monitoring period. When they come back, after we assess height and weight of the participants before the DEXA scan, which is a bone density scan, there is a short cognitive assessment to measure their cognitive level to compare the ability to recall activities, recall sedentary behavior versus their cognitive level.
How well you remember something that was just said to you about 30 seconds earlier, right?
There are, one part of the cognitive assessment is recalling 4 words. And then the second part, I would read out a story. It's about 2 sentences, and my participants will try to remember as much information as possible.
Mm-hmm. It's not hard, folks. Trust me. As a matter of fact, it's kind of fun. People can actually look at pictures of their bones after you've conducted the scan, after they've been on the machine, right?
Yes. I print off 2 copies, and one of which I keep, and I always provide them with copies of their bone scan, both the femoral neck and the lumbar spine, for them to keep.
And what can you tell from looking at those photos? What can you tell about the bones from looking at them?
Looking at the results of the DEXA scans, we can tell how dense the bone is. So in terms of the picture itself, you can see how dense your bone is by looking at the color. The more bone mineral you have, the color within the picture that you see more white parts versus black. When we analyze the data, we look at the score called the T-score, which gives us a range of healthy range of bone density, osteopenic range of bone density, as well as osteoporosis. And T-score, this is created by the World Health Organization. We know that the T-score above negative 1.0 is considered normal or healthy, but when the T-score decreases below negative 1.0, the bone density is categorized into osteopenia, which is a precursor for osteoporosis. Your bone density is not that very low, but it's developing to, we're shifting towards osteoporosis. And when the T-score decreases to negative 2.5 is when your bone density is in the category of osteoporosis, which is the density, significant bone loss has been occurred.
Now, some people might think it's kind of counterintuitive to do a study about the impact of sedentary behavior on bone health as opposed to doing a study about the impact of vigorous activity mm-hmm. on bone health. Why did you choose to go in this direction?
Yes. Many studies have already been conducted to look at the relationship between resistance training and maybe a little more vigorous, moderate to vigorous intensity physical activity. And it has been shown that any type of resistance training has a beneficial impact on lumbar spine bone mineral density. And any weight-bearing activity, such as walking, jogging, a little bit of jumping activities, basketball, volleyball, any impact loading activities has a beneficial influence on bone density at the femoral neck. And when I was reading more and more articles about interventions, behavior interventions to try and reduce, trying to modify lifestyle of older population, it seemed like it was very difficult to have them modify their lifestyle when moderate to vigorous physical activity was implemented in the program. They can engage in such activities during their intervention period, but when they follow up after a 1 month to 2 month period, they go back to where they used to be. And it seems like when the intervention or the exercise program that they engage in during the intervention is not pleasant or enjoyable, they can make the change during the intervention, but it never really changes their lifestyle. And so my thought when I was designing this study, if we can have them perceive that lifestyle modification as minimizing sedentary behavior, replacing sedentary behavior with light intensity activity, that may be possible for, maybe more feasible for older population to change their lifestyle and stay active and maintain bone health for the remaining lifetime.
Well, when they're given too much to do, too much vigorous activity, it's almost like they're being set up to fail, because when we get into our sunset years, we're set in our ways, mm-hmm. and we don't really want to change our method of doing things.
Sure.
Plus, if we try vigorous activity and we're physically able to perform, we get frustrated and depressed, and we just say the heck with it.
Sure.
And that's exactly what we don't need to do.
Sure.
And if you'd like to participate in the study, we'll give you some contact information right now. And if you miss it because you don't have a pen or a pencil handy, don't worry about it, because we'll give it out again later on in the broadcast. The young lady's name is Saori Ishikawa. Her number is, you can reach her at 615-898-5545, or call her on her cell phone at 774-240-7517, and we will give those numbers out again deeper into the broadcast, as well as her email address. In the meantime, listen to this brief message, and then we'll be back with more on MTSU on the Record.
The MTSU Department of Art has the newest facility for visual arts in the state with approximately 50,000 square feet of space, including high-tech computers and computer-driven equipment for multimedia, graphic design, printmaking, sculpture, painting, and ceramics. We feature a visiting artist lecture program and an exhibition program that exposes students to work by national and international artists. This is Jean Nagy, Chair of the Department of Art.
To find out more, visit mtsunews.com.
We're talking about bone density and osteoporosis with Saori Ishikawa, whose dissertation study is the impact of sedentary behaviors on bone health in postmenopausal women. The ladies that you've worked with so far who have participated in your study, have you gotten any feedback from them on what the process was like or how they felt about it?
So the 7-day monitoring, because I asked them to measure or record their sedentary behavior, they come back and report back to me saying, I did not realize how much sitting time I had during the day. And so in this industrial society, we tend to sit during the day, and I think I sit maybe 8 to 10 hours a day in front of the computer doing desk work. And so that was one of the comments, feedback that I got from my participants. They realized how much sitting time they had during the day. And also, they were really interested in learning about their bone health, because it's very difficult to know whether you have bone loss occurring or whether you have osteopenia or osteoporosis unless you get the DEXA scans completed. Because when someone, for example, when someone tears a muscle, there's pain associated with it. When there's fracture occurring, there's pain associated with it. And so the body and the brain know what's really going on. The pain is a good indication of stop what you're doing, go see a doctor. But with osteoporosis, the bone loss occurs progressively, that sometimes pain is not associated with the condition, that a lot of the times people just don't know, they're not aware of their bone health. And so when my participants actually see the pictures of their lumbar spine and femoral neck, they become more and more interested in learning about how to sustain bone health.
It's like high blood pressure. You're not aware of it moment to moment, every moment of every day.
Exactly.
It's just there. Sure. It's a silent problem. They don't have to go walking around the block with light weights or anything like that. Just walking around the kitchen while you cook, walking while you're doing housework, any kind of household activity, even if you don't go out, taking the stairs at church maybe instead of going up the elevator.
Elevators, yes.
Very simple kinds of things.
Yes.
It's not that complicated.
No, it's one of the... I create a list of light intensity activities that my participants can engage in during my intervention, which will start in January. We ask them to simply wash dishes instead of using a dishwasher, or stand up during commercials while watching TV and stay in a standing position for a little bit after, or park a little bit away, further away from the entrance area of the grocery shop or the mall, things like that, that you don't necessarily have to go to a fitness center and almost sort of force yourself to engage in physical activity.
You're only with them about 15 or 20 minutes at a time, right?
Yes.
So this doesn't even take up much of your day if your activities are, if you have a long to-do list, let's put it that way, and you're constantly on the go. The bone scan that you do, is that something that you would have to go to a specialist if you were going to a physician in the private sector? Is that something you would have to make an appointment for and then pay for?
Bone density scan, it depends on how old you are and which primary physician you have. Sometimes the physician's office will have bone density scan. Sometimes you have to be referred to somewhere that has dual energy X-ray absorptiometry. We call it the DEXA machine. That machine we do have in our exercise science club, exercise science lab. So we get to have our participants come by and just simply lie on top of the table and do the scan. The bone density starts decreasing at the age of 50, around the age of 50. So from the age of 50 years to 65, there's a 15-year period where you sort of wonder what your bone density is.
And if you go to Saori and participate in her study, you can get the bone scan mm-hmm. done. None of this cost you a penny. Mm-mm. None of this cost you a thing. We'd like to emphasize that Saori is not a physician. She's not a medical doctor. No. She is going for an academic doctorate yes. with this study. Yes. However, she is perfectly qualified to do what she's doing.
Yes, I was fortunate to be able to take the online courses for X-ray technician, and I have taken the certification examination, and so I am a licensed X-ray technician, and so I can operate the DEXA machine without having to refer my participants to the physician and they get the DEXA scans completed
and then interpret and analyze the results.
Yes. Uh-huh.
We'll give you that contact information one more time. If you are a postmenopausal woman who would like to participate in the bone density study, right after this on MTSU on the Record.
The Concrete Industry Management Program at MTSU fills the need for trained personnel who know concrete technology and techniques. Our alumni go into the marketplace grounded in basic math and science and able to promote products or services related to the industry. Our participation in the academic common market ensures talented students in other states a chance to enroll on an in-state tuition basis. This is Dr. Heather Brown, director of the program.
To find out more information on this or other university programs, visit mtsunews.com.
Saori Ishikawa is conducting a study on the impact of sedentary behavior on bone health in older women. You can get a bone density scan and find out a great deal about the state of your own bone health. If you would like to participate in the study and you meet the qualifications, which are age and you have to be ambulatory, is that right?
Ambulatory with or without assistive devices.
That's, you can mm-hmm. you can use a walker and mm-hmm. that's still okay mm-hmm. if you want to participate.
Or a cane, uh-huh. That's fine.
And is there a certain age? Is it 65 plus?
Yes, 65 and above.
65 and above.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, her name is Saori Ishikawa, Saori Ishikawa. Just call her Saori. Don't bother with it. The telephone number is 615-898-5545. That's a university number, 615-898-5545. Her cell phone number is 774-240-7517, and her email address is mtmail.mtsu.edu. She does her work in the Alumni Memorial Gym, which is on Middle Tennessee Boulevard here mm-hmm. on the campus of MTSU in room 152A, and she's looking for a few good women.
Yes.
To help her complete her studies.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it'll be a big help to you, too.
Yes.
Thank you for being with us, Saori.
Thank you so much.
MTSU On the Record, a news and information program about Middle Tennessee State University, is produced by the university's Marketing and Communications Office, which is solely responsible for its content. Read more about MTSU at our website, mtsunews.com. Podcasts of this program are available at mtsunews.com and on iTunes. Thank you.